Well, good morning, church. Today is Pentecost, and I am so blessed to be able to share a message with you today. So I believe that Pastor Stacy was filled with the Holy Spirit when she was guided to bring me here today, and not because of a great message, and hopefully my message will be of value, but because this whole process has been such a blessing to me. So I will tell you that this is the most special Pentecost of my life, and it's kind of odd because here I'm sitting in front of a half a dozen people in church, and you would think that the most special Pentecost of my life would be something that was glorious and hundreds and thousands of people, but the reason why this Pentecost was made special to me is the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life. So about 4 weeks ago, Pastor Stacy asked me if I'd be willing to give the message. And, you know, there's always that little hesitancy, like, you know, it's a little bit nervous time getting in front of people and speaking. But I said yes, and I've sort of learned the lesson to not to say no to godly things. So I said yes. And then the process began. So admittedly, the first week or two was just a little bit of anxiety, thinking, okay, I've got to come up with a message. But after a little while, I sort of surrendered to that process, and I began to study about Pentecost, and I began to search my own life for the presence of the Holy Spirit and what that meant to me. And I wanted to share with you some of the things that I learned in the last 2 or 3 weeks of introspection and learning about Pentecost. So, you know, I don't have a lot of time, and when you think about it, Pentecost is such a huge part of our church and tradition. You know, you could fill a library with all the topics that could come from Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, the church, law versus spirit, and things like that. But in order to consolidate it, I came up with a few FAQs, or frequently asked questions, and these were some of the questions that were going in my mind that I needed to answer. So the first frequently asked question is, what exactly is Pentecost? What is Pentecost? Now, it is a big part of our church, but it isn't like Easter or Christmas, so sometimes it gets a little bit lost. But Pentecost comes from the word Pentecosta, which is Greek for 50th. So on the timeline, Pentecost, where we celebrate Pentecost, which is considered the birth of the church, 7 weeks after Easter, or the seventh week after Easter. And the reason why it's called the birth of the church, it is when the Holy Spirit came to the apostles and essentially created the spirit of the church as God's Spirit came to us. Now, interestingly enough, Pentecost is also celebrated in the Jewish tradition as the Festival of Weeks. So that's 7 weeks after the liberation of the Hebrews from Egypt, Moses came down with the Ten Commandments, the laws. So in the Festival of Weeks, and probably the reason why the apostles were gathered together for that tradition and celebration of the receiving of the law is the same time that we celebrate the gift of the Spirit. Now, this is really, really powerful, and for me it was kind of exciting because last year I had done a study on the law versus the Spirit, and Paul talks a lot about that. But when you think about it, the parallel is really quite amazing. At that same time that we were gifted the law of the Ten Commandments, we're also, as Christians, gifted the Holy Spirit. And it's in that transition from law to spirit that really is a huge foundation of our belief in church. So the second question is, what is the Holy Spirit? Now, there can be hours and hours and discussion on this, but very basically, the Holy Spirit is part of the Holy Trinity, or the triune nature of God. So we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit. John 14, verse 26, Jesus says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So the reassurance of the Holy Spirit was to the disciples when Jesus said, "I am going to leave you." And all of a sudden, everyone's like panicking, like, oh shoot, do you remember what he said? I didn't take notes, did you take notes? It's like, what's going on? You know, they didn't have, you know, recorders, they didn't have their iPhone taking notes or anything like that. So I'm sure they were thinking concerned. And he said, no, the Holy Spirit will instruct you, and you will, through the Holy Spirit, remember everything that I've said. So that's the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a lot more things than discussions about the Holy Spirit, but I'm going to leave it at that, because what I want you to do from this experience is really to find the Holy Spirit for yourself. What is the Holy Spirit in you, and what does it mean? So let's pray about that real quickly. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We just thank you for the Holy Spirit and coming down so that we can better understand you, the Word, so that we can be connected with Jesus and one another. We just open our lives to the Holy Spirit to receive it. And I am filled with the Holy Spirit by the grace of God. And we all said, in Jesus' name, amen. So when you think about that, I was wondering, so who really does receive the Holy Spirit? Because in the example we heard from Acts that the apostles received the Holy Spirit, but do we also therefore receive the Holy Spirit? So in Acts 2:38, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So if you repent or baptize or receive Jesus into your life, then you receive the Holy Spirit. In Luke 11:13, Jesus says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to you, to those who ask him?" So basically, if you ask, you shall receive. If you have asked Jesus into your life, if you have asked for the Holy Spirit is within you. Now, the question is that in the example of Acts, the apostles were so filled with the Holy Spirit and excitement, they began to speak in foreign languages. So languages that they maybe didn't even know or understand. So the question becomes then is, why don't I feel that? And I was kind of questioning that myself. It's like, why don't, you know, I'm not speaking in foreign languages, although it's very, very tempting to say I am filled with the Holy Spirit in like five or six different languages, you know, just to kind of brag. But I would have had to go to like iDictionary or something and looked at. So it wasn't coming from me, from the Holy Spirit. It was coming from my head. And what I realized is that so many things come from my head rather than the Holy Spirit. In Acts 7:51, it says, "You stiff-necked people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit." And this is Stephen speaking to the Sanhedrin. So we are gifted with the Holy Spirit, and I know that. And yet I realize that oftentimes I resist the Holy Spirit, because everything goes through my head rather than through my spirit, or so many things. So what I realize is that for me personally, not only did I need to move from the law to the spirit, but I needed to move from my head to the spirit as well. So when I began to realize that, my search for the Holy Spirit ended by researching. And I began to look for the Holy Spirit in my life, in my emotions and my experience. So how can we better understand or feel the presence of the Holy Spirit? I think what came to me was that I am not to tell you what to do, because that connection to the Holy Spirit is an individual thing. But I was asked to share what worked for me and what I did. And, you know, if we're kind of lucky, maybe it works for you too. But if not, you will find the Holy Spirit in your life and you will begin to experience it. If you have already asked God to bring the Holy Spirit into your life It is there. But why don't we always experience that? So one thing I did was I looked at my marriage. So almost 25 years, Yoli and I are very close, especially with COVID. We see each other all the time. But to tell you the truth, and she's probably gonna listen to this, so I have to be a little bit careful in what I say. But when I'm watching a Dodger game or a Laker game, I may not recognize that she is also in the house. And when you think about it, sometimes we are engaged in a relationship with God or the Holy Spirit, but what we find is that the majority of our life is really not acknowledging the presence of God or the Holy Spirit in our life. We're busy doing our thing. So what I decided to do, and I did this with my marriage, and I also did it with the Holy Spirit, so that's why, you know, I think the Holy Spirit at work in Pastor Stacy's life had it work in my life as well, was that I began to acknowledge the people and the Spirit that I am in relationship to. So every morning when I woke up over the last 2 weeks, I said to myself, I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I am guided by the Holy Spirit. I am healed by the Holy Spirit. And I just began to say that affirmation over and over again in the morning. And then I started saying it at night. And then I just started saying it all the time. Now, of course, this may be a habit that was reinforced by my need to give a message on the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. But I'm also acknowledging that there is a possibility through choice that the Holy Spirit may play a much bigger role in my life every moment of the day that I choose to acknowledge that I am filled with the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you that I began to feel and experience life a little bit differently. So you should try this in the morning, or you could do it now. Just, I am filled with the Holy Spirit. And it just starts to decompress your life. I felt a little bit more relaxed. I wasn't as stressed out about giving a message because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. So I was sitting there, you know, pastor said, you know, about 15 minutes or so, and I was gonna set my timer, and I was thinking, okay, now how do I set my phone so that it vibrates and it doesn't ring? And then I said, you know, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. If it's 15 minutes, the Holy Spirit had the timer. If it's half an hour, it was meant to be. But all of a sudden, I took that pressure off of me because I know that the Holy Spirit is filling me and what I say was meant to be said. Now, does it mean it's going to be perfect? Of course not. If it was perfect, God would have to give you that message himself. It wouldn't work through me. But I feel that was what was meant to be said in this moment will be said because I am filled with the Holy Spirit. So when you go into your life, I think the opportunity is that even though most of you are connected to us through Facebook or YouTube, that maybe this will be a very special Pentecost for you. Because while you have the Holy Spirit in you, maybe on this Pentecost, you started to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is in you and that you are filled with the Holy Spirit and that your life will change because of that. And your connection to the Holy Spirit could rekindle and connect that connection with other people as well. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit work in our lives to fill us to overflowing with love and connection. And may we always know that you are here with us through the Holy Spirit, and may we feel the Holy Spirit in our experiences, in our thoughts, in our emotions, and most importantly, in our actions to other people. We thank you for your love, and may we express that love to all that we meet. Pray all this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.